Well, Father, as we bow down this morning, and we just want to worship you, and we want to pray to you, and acknowledge our tremendous need for you, and thank you for your grace. And so lead us now in these moments together, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing number 82. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, that hymn has some significant references to some things we're going to be talking about this morning when we walk with the Lord. We want to talk about a spiritual walk this morning and look back to a friend of God, Abraham. And we want to look at the second part. Actually, it's the second dialogue that God has with Abram. He's still Abram at this point. And we're in Genesis chapter 12. Now, a little earlier, I think two or three weeks ago, we looked at the first three verses of that particular calling to Abraham to get out of the country, to leave the father's house, to leave the country and go to a land where he would show you. And so now in verse 4, and as we read these next few verses, I just want to kind of call your attention to some applications for us, it would seem to me, with regard to walking a spirit-filled life and to watch the obedient Abraham and how he was faced with such similar things as you and I are faced with in a way, and how this is kind of a model of a spiritual walk, it would seem. So, verse 4, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So we see there that obedience, don't we? And Lot went with him. I don't know about that, but anyway, he went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Keep in mind Haran, because we'll come back to that word. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. First thing I want to notice is in a little bit earlier, we had him called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And it's really like three citizenships here, so to speak. There's the citizenship of Ur, which is the citizenship of death. That's the citizenship of unbelief. That's the citizenship of idolatry, right? That's really the citizenship of an unbeliever. Then, being obedient to the call, Abram gets to the next place, which is Haran. And I want you to think of Haran really as a place of advancement, but it's really a place more of outer religiosity. And it's really not a place of being spirit-filled and moving in obedience with the Spirit. And then the final place is really the place of power and blessing, being led by the Spirit as he comes on into the land of Canaan. So he comes to the land of Canaan, and then notice the very next phrase, Abram passed through the land. We see Abram on the move. We will later look at he's in a tent, and how similar that is to our spiritual walk. Our spiritual walk is a spiritual walk. It's not a spiritual standstill, and we need to continually be moving, and the flesh doesn't like that. Once we have a little victory, we like to sit back and say, okay, Lord, well, I gave him my best shot. Now I'm just going to chill out for a while. But that's not what the Lord is after. He's after a daily walk with him, it would seem to me. So he's moving through the land. He comes to a place of Shechem. Interesting, that name means shoulder or strength. So he comes to the shoulder or the strength. As far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. Well, Moreh means instruction. And how typical that is. We get our strength basically through instruction. And what is that? Through the Word of God. We get our spiritual strength through the Word of God, right? As we walk, as we're passing through the land, as we're passing through this life in our spiritual walk, we need to be daily, what? Getting instruction from His Word, because faith comes by hearing, here it comes by faith, and we're to walk in faith, right? So here is Abraham coming to a shoulder of strength, Shechem, and as far as the tree of instruction, so to speak, the tree of Moreh. Now notice the next phrase, which is very significant because that again fits us. And there were Canaanites, or we could say enemies. There were enemies in the land. Now how about your spiritual walk? Are you not constantly faced with enemies? Particularly those enemies of pride, arrogance, hatefulness, lack of love, and all of the things we have, malice, and all the things we're told in the scriptures to avoid, because they're the fleshly things, aren't they? We got a whole list of them in Galatians 5 there, which I think is about 18 of them there. But we see ourselves as well faced with enemies. We do not walk a spiritual life. Yes, we have protection, but we need to be aware of that and seek that and be aware that we have enemies. And I bet when you woke up this morning, if you're like me, pretty much the first thing you thought of was yourself. Pretty much that's where every day starts, doesn't it? We end up pretty good. We end up, oh, Lord, I'm surrendered. Take me, Lord, whatever you want to do with me. And all I need is to wake up in the middle of the night or wake up in the morning, and the first thing I think of is myself. Schedules or whatever, problems, whatever. And maybe you have passed beyond that state, I don't know, but I have not. I'm still in that state, and the enemy is primarily my flesh. Well, then we have the Lord appearing to Abraham. This is the second recorded time we have him appearing to him, and he gives this great promise, to your descendants I will give you this land. And we've talked about that before. I'm not going to focus on that too much this morning. I want to go on to the next phrase, and there he built an altar. What is an altar? What do you think an altar represents? We think of it as a place of worship, but really it's a place of cleansing. It's really a place of sacrifice. What do you do on an altar? You burn something. You offer something to the Lord. And even from the very earliest, we had Abel sacrificing a lamb from his flock. So we have, long before the Levitical law, we have the sacrifice going on where there was a cleansing, where we keep needing to be cleansed. We keep needing to be offering a substitute for ourselves, so to speak. And, of course, we want to offer our whole self, even as we sang this morning, when on the altar I lay, right? We want to offer ourselves to the Lord, that sacrifice to the Lord, and the cleansing. And so we see here one of the reasons I think Abram is referred to as a friend of God. He's always building altars. In today's little interlude here, we have him building altars twice. He builds an altar here, and he builds an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So his response to the appearance of God in his life is to build an altar. I just love that, don't you? Isn't that neat? And then verse 8, he keeps on moving. Keep moving. Walk, 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 right? And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai, or however you want to pronounce it, on the east. Now again, here is a spiritual walk situation. We are always confronted with choices, aren't we? Choices. And if we look at these names, we get some choices here of Abram. Bethel, you know what that means, house of God, right? Did you know what the definition of Ai is? Ruin. So you got ruin on the left and you got the house of God on the right. And where did Abram pitch his tent? He pitched it between them. Now, I'm not being critical here, but I do see a choice. You got the ruin on the one side of you, which I believe is our flesh, and you've got God on the other side, right? And don't we just have choice after choice after choice to see if we love God and if we're really walking by faith, right? And you know, I say, oh, Lord, just spare me of all my problems. Spare me of all conflict. Spare me of all affliction. Spare me, spare me. No, I don't think that's the right prayer. I would say, give me strength to get through them, number one, in a way, and give me an understanding to know you better, right? And to know what I'm to learn from this. Because most of these, for believers, come from the Lord. They don't come from ourselves. Now, unbelievers, and when we were making really a lot of bad choices, we brought a lot of afflictions on ourselves, didn't we, by bad choices. But if we're walking the Christian life and really walking in accordance with Him, He still gives us all of these things. He still puts the disciples in the sea where they are near death for hours at a time while he's praying over them and watching them to build their faith and to develop them. The same thing with us, isn't it? So we have these choices. Now here again, Abram demonstrates his love to the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord. This is the second time we have in the, he just added in verse 7, now in verse 8, moved from one place to another, built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord. Now there's worship. Calling on the name of the Lord is worship. And are you calling on the name of the Lord? Are you in kind of a constant state of calling on his name and worshiping him? And then finally we see him continuing going on toward the south. We see in verse 8 he pitched his tent. So there's the term tent. He did not have a solid home built on a firm, not movable foundation. He lived in a portable house. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So here's Abram, obedient to the Lord, going into land that the Lord would show him, and he's always on the move. But every place he moves, it seems like he builds an altar, cleansing himself and being connected to the Lord. So how is your spiritual walk? And how many citizenships do you have? How many passports do you carry, in a sense? Do you have a passport to Ur? Are you still living part-time in Ur? Do you have a summer home there or a winter retreat there or whatever? How about Haran? Do you have a home there as well? And you might say, oh, no, I moved from Ur. Yeah, I imagine we have. We may go back and visit there sometimes. Certainly, we don't want to be spending time there in our mind. And then we move to Haran. Now, there's a lot of us, I think, that are a little double-minded, and we have part of our residence, part of the time in Haran, and part of it in Canaan, right? And we want to be full-fledged citizens of living in the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, don't we? So search your heart to see where you're living and how firm your position is in the land of power and blessings. And I believe we need to stay in the Word continually, daily, to keep from drifting back into Haran, because it's very easy to do. Get into legalism, you're back in Haran. Get into just apathy, you're back in Haran, or even maybe even all the way back to Ur. So may we continue our walk led by the Spirit, shaped by the Word, and giving him praise and honor and glory. Father, we thank you for this dialogue with Abraham here that you have made, and as we see his obedience and some of the things that we can maybe pick up for ourselves. And I just think of this as some 4,000-year-old story that has no application to us. We see there's much application to us in your Word. And may we glean from what you have for us in the way we need to receive it, Lord. Now hear our cry, hear our prayers, as we bow down before you and bring the petitions that you place on our heart through your Spirit, and may our prayers totally be responsive to your calling, Lord, and to your leading. In Jesus' name, amen.